Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the Early Line. This is hour number two right here on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wright side. Let's take a look at some of the Major League Baseball headlines. Major League Baseball is certainly going to be up front and center here as we don't have any NBA to break down from a full preview perspective, if you will, until Thursday. But there's a lot of good action yesterday. And one good jumping off point here, Donnie, was a sweep by the Milwaukee Brewers in a doubleheader against the Chicago Cubs. Last week, I pointed out a very strong Milwaukee Brewer price to win their division. It was minus 320 with a narrow lead. The lead is comparable. The price is the same at minus 320 as they're up four games on St. Louis. You know, Milwaukee team finds a way, man. They really do. They're 32-18 right now, and they certainly are worthy favorites. I still think the price is very, very strong, but it's easy to see why they are the favorites to win this whole division.
No, and winning close games is what they're going to be doing, because if you get, you know, usually good frontline pitching, you're going to have some very good closers and setup guys late in the bullpen. If we take a look yesterday, winds were howling at Wrigley Field. You saw that first game, 7-6, 13 total runs, easily covers. And then the nightcap there, winds were still blowing out. Only a 3-1 game, which sometimes handicapping those doubleheaders can be a little bit tricky. But something interesting happened yesterday. We've known in the past here for the Milwaukee Brewers where Josh Hader comes in the game, he immediately shuts the door. It's what happens. But they like to use him sparingly, right? Maybe use him on back-to-back days, give him 2 days rest. They don't want to sort of press it down and say, we need you for 50, 60, 70 closing situations or high leverage situations per year. But how about yesterday, Kevin? You look in the first game, you know who got the save? Josh Hader. Look in the second game, same day. You know who got the save? Josh Hader. So relying more on that superstar out of the bullpen, which is how you win games, unlike the Philadelphia Phillies, which we'll get to in just a few moments here, but now they extend the lead to four games here. But this is what the Brewers are doing. If you can get hitting matched up with their pitching, they're a very good ball club here, and that's a very, very weak division outside of the Cardinals.
Yeah, and the thing right now, when you take a look at the state of the National League, how about this? Minus 320 Brewers, minus 290 Dodgers, how about minus 280 on the New York Mets? Big, big favorites right now in the, I mean, to be fact, all but one division has a favorite of minus 200 or better right now. So, there are some teams that they feel like have these things signed, sealed, and delivered. Let's talk about that NL East. You mentioned the Phillies. We'll start there before we get to the Mets side of it. Man, they're asking if Joe Girardi's on the hot seat here. They've lost four in a row. They're 21-28, 11.5 back of the New York Mets. This group had big expectations coming into this year, and it's just not panned out. A bunch of blown leads, Donnie, and a team that really cannot be happy with where they sit, you know, nearly 50 games into this Major League Baseball season.
No, and you have the Giants, you know, aren't as good as what they were last year, record-wise at least. A lot of the same players and such, but you're the Philadelphia Phillies. You just get slapped around by the New York Mets. You return home. It's a hot, muggy afternoon on Memorial Day. You have a 2-0 lead heading into the sixth inning. And then it's a 2-2 game, and then you lose the lead 3-2. But Kyle Schwarber rescues you in the bottom of the ninth inning with a solo shot to lead off. So, okay, headed to extras. Let's see what happens here. But, of course, you give up another blast. Now, getting into yesterday's game, just a microcosm of the Philadelphia Phillies season. 13 games that they've had the lead this year in, they have actually lost those ball games, which is ridiculous. I believe it's second or third in Major League Baseball at this point. But the question that comes up is, Joe Girardi, is he safe? And usually you can look at a man and say, this guy's a buffoon, this guy's an idiot, doesn't make sense. Let's welcome in the radio audience here. Welcome live on a Tuesday morning here on the Early Line. It's Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh breaking down some Major League Baseball with the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, Joe Girardi, what do you want him to do? Hey, he's making bad decisions. Let's put my closer in, and he blows the game. Well, who else do you want to put in? Your closer is supposed to handle those situations. This isn't a lineup card, which, yes, I know he's trying to dictate who's going to bat first, and it seems like it changes every day. Well, that's just what you get. And the Philadelphia Phillies sort of hamstrung here on this DH because Bryce Harper can't play the field with that elbow injury. So when you look towards the manager, and I hear the comments, oh, the Phillies aren't having a lot of fun here at this point. I guess some of the players are squawking in the background. Have some fun and win some games. How about you just do your job here? How about you have the lead late in the game? You just shut it down. It seems like the Philadelphia Phillies, more than any other team, and maybe because I just watch them more than any other team, they are the type of team where when they have a lead, you go, this isn't going to last. And when they're down, you're like, they lost this ball game. Enough with that. Just win the games you're supposed to win with the lead, and everything takes care of itself. So Joe Girardi getting fired is not going to make Corey Knebel a better closer for the Philadelphia Phillies.
Here's a tough thing for the Phils. So you look at it and you go, all right, there's some spots that we need to beef up here maybe. Look, you're six back already of that last wild card spot. And I don't – like the Padres, I don't know how much ground you're going to be able to gain on that group. You're 9.5 back when you talk about the top wild card spot. And the San Diego Padres, like, we might get to deadline time and they might not be able to justify spending – the Philadelphia Phillies. When you look at this division, the top of the front, the New York Mets. Mets fans, we're good now, right? We don't have to do the sky is falling thing anymore. You're a really, really good baseball team. Plus 62 run differential, only behind the Dodgers when you talk about National League teams. Biggest gap between first and second in all of Major League Baseball when you talk about a divisional lead, 33-17. Donnie mentioned Pete Alonso and how awesome he's been with his 47 RBIs. Jeff McNeil's back to being an over 300 batter. Francisco Lindor starting to heat up again, and he's now a 40 RBI guy. This team dropped under minus 200 when we talked about division status favorites on the heels of that Max Scherzer news, and this team's now going to creep up above minus 300 sooner than later. The Mets are really, really good. It's previously games.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's hit some Major League Baseball. This should be pretty fun. Right now, kind of some things starting to materialize for me when we talk about those strikeout props. Always a popular market for people there. Kind of starting to hone in that process that has been working. Right off of the bat, we'll talk about a game that certainly caught my eye. And you know, Donnie, always taking a look there at who can be providing us some offense on a Tuesday. Tuesdays usually expect a team total, at least back when baseball was normal. Maybe today we can see if something fits the description here. We'll start with those Phillies who we were just talking about with the San Francisco Giants. The Phils are favored around a minus 140 range, 9.5, suggesting offense today. What do we think here, Donnie, between Philly and San Fran?
Yeah, we should get some offense. Just an updated weather report here from the city of brotherly love for today, Kevin. How about this? 93 degrees at first pitch, light wind blowing left or right. So you do have a hitting environment today, as we say, in Philadelphia. But if we take a look, the matchup actually is not going to come from the Philadelphia Phillies bats. It's actually going to come from the San Francisco bats. You're going up against Ranger Suarez, the lefty. He's got an xFIP around that 4.7 range, which isn't great. Now, lefty pitchers usually dominate, as we say, lefty batters. And Suarez is no different. This year, at 193 weighted on base percentage of lefties and an 029 ISO power number. But things start to shift against Ranger Suarez once he faces right-handed batters. And the reason why we bring this up today, the anticipated lineup, 2 to 3 left-handed batters is what we're looking at here for the San Francisco Giants. So let's just say 6 right-handed batters, a 368 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 187. hitting conditions in Philadelphia, the struggles of that bullpen here. So if you can attack Ranger Suarez for at least two runs through five, you probably got a legitimate chance to take down that, let's just say, I didn't check the updated numbers here at FanDuel, it's probably around a four. That's the way I would be looking at this game. Not to say the Phillies can't win and hit Junis. I'm just looking more for those right-handed bats going up against Ranger Suarez, the lefty for the Phillies.
Certainly could jump out there. That Giants team total right now is 4.5 at minus 105, so not all too expensive. You never know. Could it come down a little bit, maybe find a 4, minus 128? Sometimes we see that shift there. Certainly so. Here's the deal on Ranger Suarez. That 4.5 at minus 106 is not a bad look. You would expect to be paying a little bit more juice when you line up those projections. Last game he landed at a 4, but only gave you 4 1/3 because he was hit by the Braves, which I know Donnie was expecting, but before that, in his prior three starts, he had 5 or more in all three of them. That's the one danger point there, though. If Donnie feels like this is a good spot for the Giants lineup against Ranger Suarez, you might not get that full workload that you need to go over that strikeout prop. If he only lasts 4 innings because he's getting hit around and he goes under a 90 pitch count, and this is the guy that has, you know, multiple times this year thrown 100-plus pitches, if you don't get a full workload because he's hit, that's where you have to be careful. One to follow. The juice is important, and it's not bad right now, though, at minus 106. Nothing on the board yet early morning here between Baltimore and Seattle, as I think we've got some uncertainty who's going to get the ball on the Baltimore side of it. We'll move over to another AL East game, which is the Yankees and the Angels. It's Montgomery and Syndergaard here as your two listed pitchers. Totals at 9. We're seeing some big totals today on the board. DRS there. Montgomery versus Syndergaard. What's jumping out to you for Yankees Angels?
Yeah, it feels healthy, right? Now we're getting into those hitting environments where every day you're looking on the East Coast, you're saying, remember those 50s and 60s? Well, now they're turning into 80s and 90s as we get ready for summer here, post-Memorial Day, and this game's certainly no different. Now, both of these pitchers actually profile well, so it wasn't one of those where we're trying to take a look at which way do you have an edge in the game, because you see there the plus 118 here on the Angels, and 9 is probably going to get this done for a total, but the simple fact is you have AL MVP implications all over the place as you come to town, because why? Mike Trout's out there. Aaron Judge is going to be out there. Also, if we're anticipating a look from Shohei Ohtani, you have the superstars lining up, but quite frankly, they don't really match up all too well with the pitchers here. Montgomery, the lefty here, right around that 4x FIP range, which is a little bit high, but he's done very well versus lefties and righties. And then if we take a look here at Noah Syndergaard returning back to the Big Apple here, he's over 4 with his xFIP, but he has very good weighted on base percentages to lefties and righties. So as long as you're just balancing it out and saying these two teams have superstars they should hit, I hear you. But if we're looking at this Yankees lineup, and so many times I've said this before, if we're looking at even the top four, LeMahieu, Judge, Rizzo, and Torres, only two guys in this lineup tonight for the Yankees, which is Aaron Judge at a 383 ISO power number and Anthony Rizzo at a 250, everybody else is way below the margins here. So maybe if you're looking for a sneaky chance to take an underdog up against the Yankees in their own building, maybe this is the one with Noah Syndergaard on the mound.
Let me just say, right now, if you remember, I think you remember this, Donnie. Remember when Ohtani was going to Yankee Stadium and we were like, yeah, he's going to homer, right? And he homered in each of the first two games. He actually homered in one of them twice. And one of those happened to be a Tuesday. Today's Tuesday, Dinger Tuesday, Ohtani plus 370. Yeah. Maybe the numbers aren't necessarily there. But, Donnie, I mean, come on, for you, a short porch. I mean, if your AL MVP can't flick the wrist and get one over that fence, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to be it, right, Donnie? Shouldn't he hit about a home run each every time he comes up to the plate, honestly?
Exactly. You'll see Ohtani fly out to the wall in right field three times. I'm like, man, that stadium's tough. Just tough to get one out into those right field seats there. We'll see what happens. But if anybody is getting the ball in the air today in that 90-degree weather, it should travel a pretty good distance up there in the Bronx for sure.
Maybe a perfect Dinger Tuesday game then right there on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We'll keep it with New York. The Mets and the Nats are back at it. The Mets are a minus 180 favorite. Folks, no doubt, no questions asked. First time all year I've previewed on this show three straight games with 9 or better as a total. No doubt about it. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's what you're looking for here. Expectations, some runs. The expectations certainly also say the Mets are big favorites, which is what you'd expect up against those Washington Nationals. Donnie, how do you like this one tonight? Where's the value?
Yeah, probably going after Corbin, right? If we take a look here, as he has, excuse me, has an XFIP number of 111, which is XFIP minus, excuse me, of 111, which isn't great. 100 is about that median line that you'd like to take a look at. ERA on the season, Kevin, a 6.30 and a Sierra number of 4.48. But quite frankly, sometimes you have to go, you hear me use this terminology in the NBA. Man, this guy made three straight games where he had three or more three-point shots, ride that hot hand. Sometimes just look at that Mets offense and say, okay, the weather conditions will be around 90 degrees. A lefty is on the mound who's really struggled this season, Kevin, being Patrick Corbin against right-handed batters. A 351 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 190. You're going to get a lot of right-handed batters in the lineup today. Looks like only McNeil and Nimmo, so seven batters from the right-hand side, and you're going to get this game played in New York fresh off of damage from what they did to the Philadelphia Phillies and also yesterday. I look for runs in this game, and they're probably coming a lot from the Mets side.
What happened to Patrick Corbin? Well, I mean, remember he was kind of the third snake on that three-headed monster between him, Scherzer, and Steven Strasburg. And by the way, he was a part of the World Series winning team. He had, you know, a very good first season with the Washington Nationals. Last year, 5-8-2, Donnie. Maybe you chalk it up. Oh, it's a bad season. I mean, this guy, look, the 1-7, the Nationals are bad. His 6.30 ERA is getting smashed on a regular basis. What's incredible, though, Donnie, and I know the way every single team he's faced, he's given up at least two runs, except for the Mets. Who he gave up no runs to. Like, I don't know how you figure that out, but watch. Tonight, they'll get right back out there and get after it. Let me ask you quickly, because I don't want to force it. Any guys that would specifically line up if you were talking hitter prop parlays, two-plus bases? I see great numbers for Pete Alonso here. How about 11 for 32, which is 344 average, four homers and two doubles in his career against Pat Corbin. Any specific hitters you might target tonight?
Yeah, too. Pete Alonso does have a 231 ISO power number versus lefties this year, which is great. And also, he's heating up as well. Also, take a look at Brandon Nimmo on the leadoff shot. Now, that's a left-hander. He actually has a 261 ISO power number with a weighted on-base average of 417. Mm-hmm. And again, that heat and humidity is going to play in well. It is a nice day for Dinger Tuesday. We're not worried about, hey, rainouts on the East Coast and 40-degree temperatures. Looks like we're going to be rocking and rolling. And that ball should be flying into the seats.
And J.D. Davis as well, some good numbers there. 10 of 32, three doubles and four homers in his career against Patrick Corbin. More Major League Baseball all coming up next right here after this quick break on Sportsbook.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Baseball preview continues. We take a look here at the Tampa Bay Rays coming off of a nice series victory against the Yankees. They had the Yanks looking like those April Yanks, keeping their offense in check, no doubt. They go to Texas up against Martin Perez, who's had himself a phenomenal start to this season at 1.60 ERA. And that's good enough to have the Rangers posted up right now as favorites in this baseball game, albeit somewhat slight, around a minus 125 range there. Total for this one is an 8. When you're matching these two teams up, what stands out?
Yeah, typically you're always going to get a circled game from me when I line up the worst pitcher on the slate. And for me, that's Ryan Yarbrough today. You say, hey, man, it's kind of interesting that you have a Tampa Bay pitcher who's usually so good in the bullpen and starting, or even an opener that sometimes they have. They're usually legitimate. But if we're taking a look at XFIP minus numbers with a minimum, Kevin, of 20 innings pitched on the season, he's 128. For his XFIP minus, which again, 28% above we think that league median is going to be. And also you say, well, that doesn't make too much sense. ERA isn't all that bad at 3.98. His XFIP number, looks at that, raises up to 4.97, and the Sierra also in the 4.5 range. So he's due to get lit up a little bit here as you try to take a look at it. Now, that's the angle that you're going to play, right? High XFIP numbers, but quite frankly, here's one of those arguments that we've been making all the way along, Kevin, and maybe it's starting to come to fruition now with Major League Baseball. I don't know what they're doing to the baseballs. Maybe they changed them. Maybe they didn't here. Maybe the batters are finally catching up here in the offseason for getting that late start, seeing live pitching because of the lockout that was. But if you're going to take a look at Yarbrough, he's got that xFIP number over 5. But if you look at his weighted on base percentages, Kevin, here to the lefties and the righties, a 310 to lefties and a 296 to righties. ISO power numbers, check this out. To lefties, 0. Righties, 094. So this is one of those leap of faith games that you take a look at and say, I'm going to trust his xFIP numbers that are high, his xFIP minus numbers that are the worst on the card today, that he is going to get hit. And I think it might make some sense because also taking a look at the Rangers lineup as it correlates today. Forget about lefty and righty splits. Just take a look at the guys that are hitting left-handed pitching. Seager, 279 ISO power number. Garver, 375. Heim, 286. Calhoun, 189. And 4 to 5 guys in there with healthy weighted on base percentages. So maybe it's just a fade of Yarbrough here. And if you don't want that full game, maybe just fade him over the first 5 innings with a team total or maybe a money line here for the Texas Rangers.
Certainly something that could line up there. I'll mention quickly, Yandy Diaz is a guy who's having himself a solid year for the Rays, but he's someone I've found very reliable when we talk about that player history mattering. And he's got some good stuff against Martin Perez. Ultimately, 7 of 19, which is good for a 368 batting average there, a homer and 2 doubles. So 2 plus bases, it is minus 105 for a reason. He's a guy that typically does stand up and deliver, though. We go to the Braves and the Diamondbacks. Man, I know somebody. So the D-backs just came off of a 4-game set with the Dodgers, who went for the Diamondbacks' first 3 games. Like, they got to grab one of them. They tapped out going into game 4. I think they were very happy to see the Dodgers come away with a nice little 4-game sweep there, as that would have been a tough pill to swallow. So the Diamondbacks coming in off a tough stretch there. They stay home. In come the Braves, though, and Charlie Morton. They're a big-time dog here, when you all things considered. Better than minus 160 on Atlanta right now. Another nice total of a 9, though, here, Donnie. How's it line up?
Yeah, I think we should get some runs tonight. And how about this? You know, a lot of participation here in those runs from the Arizona Diamondbacks from what I'm expecting here. Morton, certainly not a very good pitcher this year. An xFIP above 5, walking too many guys, not striking out enough. But here is what we like to look at when you can isolate matchups that make sense. Morton's a right-handed pitcher. How does he do against right-handed batters, Kevin? 110 plate appearances, a 289 weighted on base percentage, and an ISO power number of 071. Absolutely dominant. But get this. You say, well, Don, he just told me, strike out a lot of guys, walks too many guys, xFIP is around 5 or higher than that. What actually makes sense? It's the left-handed batters that are absolutely crushing Morton. 92 batters he's faced, Kevin, from the left side this year, a 413 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 267. So you say to yourself, typically in Major League Baseball, what do you got, Donnie? 3 batters, 4 batters from the left-hand side tonight? Absolutely not. There's only one batter in this lineup, and it's Christian Walker, who's 275 ISO power number from the right-hand side. The rest, you have 8 left-handed batters that are going to be out there. So you're out in the desert tonight. We'll check to see if that roof is open or not, but whether it is or not, you get a little bit of a bump if that heat and humidity comes in, but the bump should come from the Arizona Diamondbacks putting 8 left-handed batters up against Morton, who can't get left-handed batters out. That's a fascinating matchup to try to take a look at tonight.
Right now, you have that Diamondbacks number at 4 at plus 100, which means you could always see that 3.5 creep up. If you'd like to pay a little bit more juice, it can certainly be a good spot tonight at home as well. And a home dog. So if you think about it, right, you always worry, I know, DRS, about getting those full 9 at-bats. If they don't get 9 at-bats, that means they're winning. Good chance it takes 4 to beat the Atlanta Braves tonight. So it's a really, really nice spot on those Arizona Diamondbacks. There were a couple of others that we wanted to get to. We don't currently have odds for. So we can play this. You tell me. Mariners, Orioles, and Pirates, Dodgers, we were going to get to on the slate. With kind of not having things listed, though, fully yet, we have some kind of projections. Where do you want to go? Which one are you more enticed by right now where you felt like you might have had the bigger edge there? Again, currently no odds for either of these games on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yeah, I'll tell you what's going to be interesting. So let's start with both of those here. You know, the Pittsburgh-Los Angeles Dodgers game I do think is going to be interesting as well. But let's go Seattle and Baltimore and how that lines up. Now, we don't have the official pitching matchups, but if we can look at maybe the estimated starters, Bauman on the mound here for the Orioles. Then if we flip it over to Kirby here for the Seattle Mariners. If you look at here, both of these offenses don't profile all that well. But if you take a look at Kirby, who is a right-handed pitcher, he's got smash from right-handed bats. 4.11 weighted on base percentage, Kevin, and an ISO power number of a 306. So if you look up and down this lineup, you are going to get some left-handed bats, but primarily right-handed bats here. But also keep in mind, Baltimore. Typically we see, hey, heat, humidity down in Baltimore, not playing the way it's typically played in the past. Why? Because they wrecked their stadium by putting in a ridiculous left field giant wall. So now you're saying, okay, maybe a downgrade on that stadium overall, but maybe the heat and humidity helps out with these pitchers. Because Bauman on the mound here anticipated for Baltimore, you know, an xFIP number well above 5.5, has gotten dominated himself from left-handed batters. Keep in mind, he is a right-handed pitcher. And you do have a decent amount of left-handed batters anticipated in the lineup tonight for the Seattle Mariners. Winker, Crawford, Frazier, Trammell, and Rally. So maybe we're looking at one of those old school games that we finally get at Baltimore, where you have two teams coming in with questionable pitching here, and maybe some of these lineups can get going in the, I don't want to say bad weather, very good hitting weather, but nice high heat and humidity. We'll see if that makes some sense. And also, Kevin, I know you were talking about here that Pittsburgh Pirates, Los Angeles Dodgers game. It's just simple here. We don't have the confirmed matchups here. We look like we knew know who's going to be the pitcher here for the Los Angeles Dodgers and Urias, but Keller is anticipated to be on the mound. Why we bring him up? xFIP close to 5. Low strikeouts, high walks, dominated from right-handed batters. But sometimes you just take a look at it and say, look at that Dodgers lineup. Anytime, Kevin, they go up against a lower-level pitcher, a guy struggling, they seem to be able to just do damage. And maybe you just bet them like it's the Mets, right? Hey, they're hot right now. Just let it roll. See what the Dodgers can do. Even if they only get 8 at-bats, there's no reason to believe they can't get 5 or more runs tonight off of Mitch Keller if he is the confirmed starting pitcher.
Yeah, look, this Dodger team, and this kind of is a perfect way for us to close out the Major League Baseball preview then, by talking right now about Mookie Betts. This Dodger team is just so impressive on a nightly basis for everything that they are able to do. Again, their run differential is, you expect it to be great, right? But it's not. It's 47 runs better than the New York Yankees. And why it's so incredible is nobody's given up less runs, nobody's scored more runs. It's not carried by one side of the plate. And now Mookie Betts is a co-favorite alongside Manny Machado for the AL or the NL MVP. Mookie Betts now is batting 304, a ridiculous 15 home runs for a guy that you wouldn't necessarily say, oh, that guy's a pure power hitter in Mookie Betts. He's got an AL MVP trophy already in the case. He's the hottest hitter, it feels like, in all of Major League Baseball after a slow start for him when we thought about what he did in April, batting 230. How about in May? 355 at the plate. 12 of his 15 homers have come in this month, Donnie. I got to tell you, we've talked about Aaron Judge in the AL. Listen, if the Yanks win 100 games, I think that's going to matter for Aaron Judge. If the Dodgers go out there and win 100 games, which they almost seemingly assuredly will, I think that matters for Mookie Betts. Maybe you'll tell me too many guys competing for the award on one team, but it's totally reasonable that this guy now is a co-favorite alongside Manny Machado.
Yeah, he's been really good. How about just the Dodgers and their MO, right? It seems like they have endless prospects in their system, so they can go out and pay guys and also pay the freight here by sending over top prospects. Don't you think the Boston Red Sox sitting there right now would love to have Mookie Betts in their lineup? Or are we going to go back, hey, man, good haul. We got Verdugo back. Come on now. I mean, Mookie Betts is an absolute superstar, which I like to parlay this off into the future because there are rumblings out there right now that the Washington Nationals are going to give up Juan Soto because they don't want to pay him and they don't see why they should be able to pay him $350 to $400 million and be on that baseball team. Maybe the ownership just doesn't want to have that. And the thoughts come up right now, gone. The Dodgers have the ammunition and the prospects to go get Juan Soto and put him on that baseball team. Even with that salary, there is no salary for the Dodgers, as it seems like unlimited payroll into the luxury tax threshold, it doesn't matter. So think about that. At the trade deadline, the Dodgers going, we have 20 prospects we can give up. Send us Juan Soto and plug him in to that Dodgers lineup. It's amazing. It's amazing to think about what the Dodgers are able to do.
if the Dodgers farm system is good enough to get Soto, Turner, and Scherzer all from the Nationals, that in itself, like, they should, how do they still have prospects? It doesn't even make any sense. That's they're just that good. Finals prediction.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome right back into the early line. And it is time here to start talking some NBA Finals. Now, my esteemed colleague here at The Real Kevin Walsh. Did I get that right? Is that right?
No.
I think it is?
Never. No. No. Not real.
Yeah, we don't want any more followers there. But we are going to get at it here because, obviously, with him going away for a few days, we want to make sure that we have our ducks in a row right now to sort of set this series up. Now, I'm looking forward to it here. Celtics and, obviously, the Golden State Warriors and where that looks towards seven games. Six games, five games. We'll find out in just a few moments. But preliminary thoughts. Now that we have both teams in place, we know the place, we know the time. Thursday, game one, and we see that favorite here. The Golden State Warriors at the FanDuel Sportsbook here, Kevin, at a -3.5 price, and we see a total of 211.5. Now, quite frankly, previously, as we said, game seven, 195.5. So this seems like, whoa, this might actually be doable. But your thoughts early on this series, a few days out before we jump on Thursday night, give us some thoughts here.
Yeah, so I guess before we even do the who I think is going to win and in how many games, this is a game to me that is a house money game for the Boston Celtics. If they lose, that's fine. I think they can still win game two and be very happy with their stay in Golden State. And obviously, you want to take one of the first two if you're Boston. But if you don't, you could always go back and protect your home floor. Whereas if Golden State does drop game number one in this series, to me, season's on the line game two. You go down 2-0 and then take a trip to Boston, I cannot even remotely start to think about a world where the Warriors then are able to win this series. So, to me, it's a house money game for Boston, but they have legitimate rest here. And I think that's going to be one of the sneaky, huge boosts for those Boston Celtics games, Donnie. Robert Williams, I think, proved in that series versus Miami, mostly, how valuable he is to them. Now that he's going to get multiple days off in between games, I think you can start to bet his props a little bit more confidently. And I think he can have a bigger impact for a longer period of time in this series. And as far as that 211.5 goes, look, if you're going to be cautious on a game one, it does. I think that's understandable. But I think you should see a more open, flowing series. Golden State is, on the defensive side of the ball, nowhere near what Milwaukee and Miami were providing. Boston has the scores. Golden State's been the best offense in the entire NBA playoffs. So early looks, the total jumps out again. I expect points. I think Boston is live, though, Donnie, with a full three-day rest going into that first game.
And I'll tell you what would be nice in this first game as well, because, I mean, I guess just the way the playoffs this year in 2022 have been playing out, where you see those blowouts, be nice to see this game come right down to the end with a good scoring game, 110, 107, something like that. But if we're taking a look at the series itself, we expect a pretty good dogfight here between these two. Obviously, coming in battle-tested, ready to go, particularly from a Boston Celtics perspective against the Miami Heat. But now you see the rested and ready Warriors. If we're looking at the length of the series, because it's pretty hard to say, all right, in the NBA Finals, we're going to line up a sweep or a gentleman sweep, which means winning in five games. At the FanDuel Sportsbook, as always, it's fun to take a look at these series prices on how long you think these series will go. If we're looking at four games and you think there's going to be a sweep, +650. Five games, which is the gentleman's sweep here, you're looking at +250. Game six, +190. And game seven, +185. So theoretically, Kevin,
the favorite on the board is for this series to go seven games, and we talked about it over the break. If it does go seven games, they will start this on June 2nd and end up game seven on June 19th. It's almost as if it goes seven, they look for the content creators and go, guys, we got you covered. Here's about 3 weeks to talk about one series.
The beautiful thing, right, is are people even tired by the time you get to that seventh game? Like, there's just so much runway in between. They feel totally fine. Look, Golden State, each of them have played three series. Two of Golden State's series have been five games. Two of Boston's have been seven-game sets. The last two for the Boston Celtics. So Boston has been in those deep, deep waters, tested the legs a ton. Now, you could certainly say maybe a little bit more wear and tear on Boston. I think the one really interesting notion and something I thought about a lot when kind of figuring out who I thought would win this series, Donnie, is if we do get to seven, I think it's hard to side with Boston. To ask that team to win another game seven on the road against the Golden State Warriors, I'm not saying they can't. I'm not saying they can't. I'll put it to you like this, Donnie. If we get to a game seven, I think Golden State's bigger than a 3.5-point favorite like we see them here in game number one against the Celtics.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I would agree with you. And if it goes to game seven, that's going to be tremendous. Like the, you know, guys that are probably going left and right, the ebbs and flows of a series. Did they come back from 3-1 to force a game seven? Or did they just go win one, lose one, right up to a game seven? It'll be fun to find out. But also, when we take a look at these series prices overall at the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Golden State Warriors, I want to play this game first, which I love to do before the series starts. Golden State Warriors, a -160 favorite in this series over the Boston Celtics. The Celtics coming with the dog price of +130. Before we get the tip on Thursday, Kevin, where do we see these numbers? Golden State as a higher favorite, or do you see the Boston Celtics closing that margin here?
Good question. I think you would expect it goes lower, not higher, if it moves at all. The one thing we have seen, though, Donnie, is the FanDuel Sportsbook trusts their opening numbers a lot. Once they settle, they seem to settle. I know it's funny because you've got really good all of Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And obviously, I mean, this was set, you know, Sunday night. So you got a lot of time for people to kind of get to the window here and start to try and move these numbers. I wouldn't expect movement, but I would think people would get down maybe more so on the dog price here. I think the other interesting thing always is where could these numbers go after a result? I think if Golden State takes game one, they're going above -200, probably -230 range. If Boston takes the first game, I do think they flip to a series favorite.
It depends, too, for me in that. Like, what type of game are we going to get? Is this the Boston Celtics running away with game one? Is this maybe an injury that you might have to look at between Golden State or Boston? But I do agree. I don't know if they flip to a favorite. But I'm looking more for, like, a pick'em, basically, on that series. And then you're going to look at that game two, Kevin, Golden State Warriors. I mean, probably favored by 5.5 or close to 6 points, knowing you can't go down 0-2 and head back to Boston. So that's interesting to watch if the Celtics do win. Now, a different way to bet the series, as opposed to just saying, okay, I want to bet seven games, six games, five games, or even I just want to see if I think the Golden State Warriors are going to win this series, I'll take them at the -160 price, because sometimes going hand in hand, sometimes not. We've seen the Golden State Warriors powerhouse who have an Andre Iguodala MVP win in the finals. Now, if we take a look at this series here, Steph Curry +105 to win MVP. Jason Tatum +180. They're really the two guys we're looking at, because you really fall off of that cliff. Jaylen Brown 10-1, Klay Thompson 14-1. The reason I bring up this question is, number one, who do you think is going to win MVP? And also, is it a better philosophy to say to yourself, why lay the 160 where you know the NBA and the finals MVP is probably going to be Steph Curry? And if Steph Curry has a bad series, they're probably not winning it anyway, right? So then you're taking a look at the Klay Thompsons of the 14-1. Which way do you look at it? Is it smart just to say, whoever you think is going to win, forget about the price you're going to pay, just take the MVP and the plus money?
The thing is Steph has been to these a bunch and not won this award. Now, Kevin Durant's not there. And I almost think that they're going to go out of their way, even if it's close, to give it to Steph if Golden State does win the title. On the Tatum end of it, we saw Jalen Brown make a lot of inroads last series, and it still went Tatum. I kind of feel, Donnie, that both Steph and Tatum winning this, you know, whoever, does feel so, so likely. But I don't know if I've it doesn't feel Giannis level, LeBron level for me, where I can't even entertain the idea of somebody else. Like, I mean, maybe Jaylen Brown is otherworldly, right? Maybe Marcus Smart goes out there and just averages a ridiculous 28-8 with unbelievable defense for a six-game set, right? Could Draymond Green start to up the offensive ante and get offered a ton of respect here? While it's super likely, and the odds tell us, if Golden State wins, it's Steph. If Tatum wins, it's Boston. I don't know if I'm getting enough of a gap, Donnie, to bet it that way. I don't have that level of confidence at this exact time.
No, I hear you on that, but I also look at it the same way. Like, let's just say Steph Curry goes out and averages 15 for the series. Golden State's not winning the series. And the same way with Jason Tatum. If Tatum averages 15 points per game in the series, they're not winning it either. It is fun to look at some of those long shots and how they play out. Now, some of the fun markets here at the FanDuel Sportsbook that we also have, if you don't want to bet just a single game or a single total or the series price or an MVP, and you want to get involved in something that you can cheer all the way through, how about some of these markets like the rebound leader for the NBA Finals? If we take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook here, that market, Al Horford. Yes, old vet Al Horford, plus 130 to lead the series. Kevon Looney, plus 180. Draymond Green, plus 750. And Robert Williams at 11-1. Is there any value in this market?
So incredibly, the guy that I'm interested in is actually not listed there on that graphic. Al Horford and Kevon Looney make all the sense in the world to be at the top of the board. Both were double-digit rebounders in their last series, no doubt, okay? Here's the thing for me. It's about trust and guaranteed workload. Kevon Looney is the kind of guy that can be played off the floor. I don't know about Kevon Looney, the double-digit rebounder each and every game. Al Horford's massive rebounding games kind of comes with that injured Robert Williams. Well, I think Robert Williams might play a little bit more. I'm interested in Robert Williams. I'm not there yet. Can I sell you on plus 900 Jason Tatum, though? Last three games versus Miami, 12 rebounds, 9 rebounds, 10 rebounds. This guy's going to average 42-plus minutes a game, I think, in this series. I think multiple double-doubles in this series. At 9-1, I get him deep in the mix, Donnie, and I got a chance to cash a ticket.
There you go. And it's running out a little bit of time here in this segment. I do want to get your take on this. The made threes leader. You know I love three-point shots here. If we take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook here, obviously Steph Curry at a plus 115 price, Jason Tatum plus 230, Klay Thompson plus 410, and then Jaylen Brown 8-1. Is there any other market movement here that you look for? Is it just, hey, you know what? Steph's going to take 10 of these a game and I trust him to make it? Or is it the Boston Celtics perspective where you know Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are going to be firing from three-point range and they, quite frankly, could get hot as well.
As long as Steph's plus money, I think you bet him in this market. He won it versus the Grizzlies. He split it with Luka against the Mavs here. Highest floor, highest ceiling. He's the best shooter of all time. I think Smart is interesting in that assist market, by the way, at plus 260. He has a double-digit assist game in each of the first three series. If you get that early, you're going to be deep into the mix. And let me say this, as far as the finals prediction goes, because I will not be here back until next Monday, I do think the Boston Celtics are going to win the NBA championship. I think they're going to win it in six games. This team's a ridiculous 7-2 on the road. Their ability to win games in Golden State, the confidence that I have in that, is absolutely sky high. And here's the biggest difference. East Coast basketball, people have been saying these teams can't score. Watch Boston is going to have massive offensive games in this series. Golden State is easily the worst defense that they have played here. And what they bring on the defensive side of the ball is such a huge, huge step up. Ultimately, for the Warriors, I like the Celtics in six. Next up, you listen up. I'll see you Monday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back into the early line, and this is the final segment here for Tuesday, right here on Sirius XM Channel 159 on the grid. Donnie Wrightside here, and Kevin Walsh, as usual, setting the table from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it over to Ben Stevens and the morning after. Now, some say Kevin is going away on vacation over the next few days. Some say behind the scenes, could it be a suspension? And also, many are saying here behind the scenes, the most anticipated 3 days the early line has ever seen coming up on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But before we get to that, if you look out your windows, at least on the East Coast right now, it's hot, and so is Major League Baseball. Listen up. The heat is on in Major League Baseball, and boy, it feels good. Through those months, you know, the last week of March, which was canceled because we had the lockout, through the first weeks of April, and seemingly pitchers were going to dominate in 2022. Well, some pitchers, quite frankly, are still dominating, but at the same time, when you turn the heat on outside, where you get into the 70s, and you get into the 80s, and now routinely in the 90s, the ball travels further. Science tells us so. You had games, like look at the New York Mets right now, absolutely lighting it up. Seems like they get double digits every night. You watch the Los Angeles Dodgers, any given night, they can actually go wild at the plate. So sometimes now what you heard, hey, Donnie, what's going on in this Major League Baseball season? Why aren't these teams hitting in April? Why aren't they hitting through May? Well, through the later parts of May here, with the temperatures turning up, Major League Baseball teams are also doing the same thing. Had a nice weekend with some team totals here. Even have a great look tonight out in the desert in Arizona, where maybe those Arizona Diamondbacks can also put some runs on the board. But looking forward towards the middle of the summer, late summer, and into September here, who knows what the Major League Baseballs are doing right now, if they're doctoring them, if they're changing them, if they're saying, hey, you know what, turn the humidor temperature down so we can actually get some flight out here. Major League Baseball, the heat is on, the runs are coming home, and it's time to make some money. Thank you guys for tuning in here on a Tuesday episode of the Early Line as we give way now to Ben Stevens and the morning after right here on the grid, Sirius XM Channel 159.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.